You can sing and recite the church's hymn book, the Psalms, using modern English and new musical settings in the new Concordia Psalter. Check it out at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase the Concordia Psalter by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Make the Concordia Psalter part of your devotional life this year. 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, the new Concordia Psalter. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We've opened up the phone lines for you. Coming off our conversation, we were talking about Cardinal Raymond Burke's recent interview where he bemoaned the feminization of the church and what he calls a man crisis in the church. He's speaking from the perspective of a Roman Catholic leader in America, saying that Sunday morning is disproportionately female. That's not that he doesn't want women in church, but he's wondering, where are all the men? I'm asking you that question. I want your answer for that during Open Lines, Issues, Etc., live this Monday afternoon, January the 12th. Why is church attendance disproportionately female and ever increasingly so? 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc or leave your answer to the question at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. We are giving away Leon Poddle's book, The Church Impotent, The Feminization of Christianity, to the listener with the best question or comment for these questions. Also, have girl worship assistants added to a man crisis in the church? The logic in Cardinal Burke's thinking was, with respect to altar boys and then altar girls, he says, when it is no longer exclusively a male thing to be an altar boy, but an altar girl, it tends to be associated with the feminine activity, fewer and fewer altar boys. And in the case of the Roman Catholic Church, that often means fewer and fewer men headed toward the priesthood. Do you think there's a similar thing going on in your church? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. What about what Cardinal Burke called rampant liturgical experimentation? He was talking about the American Roman Catholic Church since Vatican II radically changing everything. He said the Mass has become a show about the priest. The priest spends a lot of time talking about himself, emphasizing himself, the loss of the sense of the sacred and of the solemn on Sunday morning. And he says a lot of that has been turning off men, in addition to the fact the church is being perceived as a predominantly female activity. Men may tag along, but it's kind of like, the analogy I have used is, men sometimes enter a church and feel about as comfortable as they do standing, holding their wife's purse at the department store as she tries on a dress. I've had that feeling at some churches myself. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org or go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Let's see what Anne has to say. She's calling from St. Louis. Hi, Anne.
Hello.
Hi, what's your thought here?
I think my church, most of the churches I think I've gone to over the years were predominantly female. But the one I go to now, as I go up and down the pews, which is a small church, we are probably 50-50. And I think maybe it's because, first of all, our pastor's very masculine. I even think he played football in college. And I think we have a well-educated congregation. And I think, if you know the truth will set you free. The men feel free to come there. There's men that come without partners. And if there's a woman that's there, it's because her husband has passed away who used to go there. My own family, there's 3 men and 2 women with 1 unborn baby. And so I just think being a well-educated congregation, you come maybe for the right reason.
No, in the churches you attended before that you say were predominantly female on Sunday morning, what was the difference there?
I'll tell you what. The non-denominational church, I don't want to slam anybody, but we had pastors up there that would be weeping and crying at times. They were very, very emotional, that kind of the kind of churches that stir up emotion quite a bit, and the men are up there crying. I know my guys weren't comfortable with that. Maybe that's it. I don't know.
And thank you very much, and thanks for listening in St. Louis. Let's see what Selena has to say, calling from her car. Hi, Selena.
Hi. I've been in and out of this conversation, so I don't know whether you've touched on this or not, but I think a big portion of the disproportionate is in society. We have the families are so broken up that you don't have, whole families living together, so therefore they don't worship together.
Selena, thank you very much. That's something that actually Cardinal Burke mentioned in his interview recently, where he said, look, this isn't just a problem on Sunday morning in church. It's a problem in the home. In fact, he really believes that the problem begins in the home, where the father may be around, but the family gathering together, father, mother, and children, is a rarer and rarer occurrence, even except around the television, even in the home, especially, he says, around the dinner table. And he says that just extends itself out into all parts of society. And why would men want to go to church? Is there something that the church has been doing in the last 30, 40 years? Leon Pottles would say it's really actually the last 1,000 years. Is there something that you think the church has been doing that has made church attendance disproportionately female? Do you think it has to do with girl worship assistants or rampant liturgical experimentation? Those are some of the suggestions made by Cardinal Burke. I want to know what you think. 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MY-I-E. It's Open Lines, Issues, Etc. live this Monday afternoon, January the 12th. And we're giving away a copy of Leon Pottles' book called The Church Impotent, The Feminization of Christianity to the listener with the best question or comment on the subject of church attendance being disproportionately female. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet @issuesetc. Or go to our Facebook fan page. We've left space there for you to answer those questions. Facebook.com/issuesetc. Here's Herman. He's calling from Illinois. Hi, Herman.
Thank you. Yes, Dr. Pottle touched on a number of points that are probably effective in different situations, but I would say that one thing undergirding it all is the loss of the certainty of the truth claim of Christianity represented by higher criticism and how that's permeated everything so that the message of the church is instead of the truth of the salvation of Jesus Christ, it's how can people feel good.
Very insightful, smartest listeners in radio, as I often say. Herman, thanks for listening in Illinois. So a loss of truth claims that some would say, well, it appeals to men and women, but perhaps especially to men. When they go there and they just hear something to think about, something to consider, who knows? Maybe it works for you. Maybe it won't work for you. Doesn't really have a lot of appeal. I can say, speaking as a man myself, and I don't speak for all men, I find far more attractive people who, even if they're wrong, at least claim to be saying that what they're saying is true rather than simply relativizing all of it. And that's a lot of what you often get in the church on Sunday morning nowadays. I want you to answer the question. This break is a great time to give us a call and to answer the question, why is church attendance disproportionately female? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E. You can send us an email with your answer to any of those questions. Do you think girl worship assistants have added to the problem? What about rampant liturgical experimentation in the last 30 or 40 years? Has that feminized the church as well? 1-877-623-6943. Talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address @issuesetc. And our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Somebody's going to get the book, The Church Impotent, The Feminization of Christianity, in the next 10 minutes of Issues, Etc. This break is a great time to give us a call, 1-877-623-6943.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Augsburg Lutheran, Shawnee, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Fresno, California. Trinity Lutheran, Casper, Wyoming. Memorial Lutheran, Houston, Texas. Trinity Lutheran, Gillette, Wyoming. Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California. St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa. Redeemer Lutheran, Caucabeca Falls, Ontario, Canada. St. Jacoby Lutheran, Shawano, Wisconsin. And St. John's Lutheran, North Prairie, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.
Feel like a woman.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkham. We're doing a little open lines on this Monday afternoon, January the 12th, answering the question, why is church attendance disproportionately female? Some other questions. Do you think that girl worship assistants like altar girls, acolytes, things like that, have added to what Cardinal Raymond Burke has called the man crisis in the church? What about rampant liturgical experimentation, the changes in the liturgy over the last 40 years? And worship styles, has that feminized the church as well? 1-877-623-6943. Let's talk with Kurt. Welcome to Issues Etc., Kurt.
Yes, Pastor Todd, I just wanted to put my two cents in here. I think that one thing that inspires men, and I think also women, is I think it's a number of different things. I think male leadership is important and other things because it's in Scripture. But also, challenging men and women to take their vocations seriously as Christians. I just love what Luther said in terms of, in Luther's day, of course, if you really wanted to serve God, you had to become a nun or a monk. But Luther said, listen, what you need to do is just diaper your baby for the glory of God. And that is, that's really true in all professions. And I think relating our Christianity to how we can extend God's kingdom, and that just fits hand in glove with the idea of exercising our vocational gifts to God's glory. And then also, many times in a congregation, you'll have different people with different interests. I've gone to church with a man who was interested in writing Christian science fiction, another one who was a member of the Gideons, another who he and his wife were involved in adopting internationally, and other people that are interested in missions. So for different people, it's going to be different things, but different ministry ideas, but also I just think serving God in your day-to-day work and challenging men to really extend God's kingdom and not in a way that many times think, oh, well, you know, you have to be successful to be to do that. Well, you know, success in the Jesus died on the cross, that didn't look real successful, but it sure was successful. So understanding success from a biblical viewpoint.
Kurt, thank you very much. I appreciate your thoughts there. Let's see what Chet has to say. Chet's calling from a cell. Hi, Chet.
Hello, blessings, Pastor Todd. Yeah, it's a very interesting subject. I mean, you could say there's loads of things regarding this subject. My opinion is that one of the factors is just the simple fact that women are different creatures than men. They're more emotional, and they have that dependency naturally to be nurtured, and they see pastors as representing, especially in my community, a positive, strong male role model, whereas the men are more skeptical, and you alluded to that earlier. The men are more questioning. The men are less apt to want to follow the lead of another man. My experience has been I find that women are more likely to be subject to whatever a pastor says and go along with it, whereas men are more tentative and more questioning. And I think another aspect you can consider, if you got men that are not in the church, there's a trickle-down effect. You know, if you're not going to church and mom's always dragging your son off to church, well, he's going to go along because he has to. But as soon as he reaches 17, 18, college age, and he can rebel against it, he's going to look at the fact, well, dad never went to church, and I'm a man now, I don't think I want to go either. So, you know, there's a secondary effect even if the dads aren't going.
Chad, thank you very much. I appreciate your thoughts as well. Let's see what Chris has to say. He listens in Fargo, North Dakota. Hi, Chris.
Hi. I am actually a recent graduate of a mainline, more progressive seminary, and there are a few guys that I went to school with who graduated with me, and we've all struggled with this particular issue. Because not only is there this, you know, phenomenon where guys, especially single guys, aren't just going to church, and this is really pronounced in our mainline denomination, there's also this tendency in our coursework and amongst our peers at the school to downplay or eliminate masculine aspects to people. So, like, for example, if at lunch I was talking with my friends about hunting, of which there's a few of us who are avid sportsmen, we were, you know, discouraged from sharing these types of things during mealtime because they were seen as part of the patriarchy or some other nonsense. I guess I'm not really sure I have any solution to this. I just know that it's really been a personal issue for me, and I've struggled with this quite a bit, and I've really appreciated this topic. It was really timely to hear it. Thank you.
Chris, thank you very much. Thanks for listening in Fargo. In St. Louis, here is Steve. Hi, Steve. Thanks for waiting.
Yeah, I'd like to say that the churches I've gone to that are LCMS don't seem to be a lot of women compared to a lot of men. I think it's pretty fairly distributed. A couple thoughts about that. One, they have good, strong men's groups. These good, strong men's groups meet regularly and do things to provide funds for the church. So they're looked as, I think that develops a camaraderie among men, but also the men have a purpose within the church. Different groups may come and say, hey, we are going on a mission trip, and so the men's group can sometimes have some money set aside for that. So I think by having groups of men doing things like that, I would also include Boy Scouts with that, where you're starting at a younger age with men in the church, bringing up boys doing, quote, manly types of things could be a big help within the structure of the church. And I think also those men-type groups can allow men to kind of let their hair hang down. You go to some churches, and it would be a sin to even think about maybe having a beer. And so if you have preaching that is not correct, and men feel guilty about doing things that are not sin to begin with, I think that adds to the problem. Those are my comments.
Thanks. All right, Steve, thank you very much. Thanks for listening in St. Louis. Marilyn says, I wonder if more women attend church as a result of the lack of men in their lives. Currently, divorced single parenting is very high, as well as a love them or leave them hookup culture. A loving God father figure is very appealing, as well as a manly Jesus. Perhaps a question worth asking is, where can young girls serve if not as altar helpers? Marilyn, thank you very much. Andrew has an answer here. He says, I think there are a number of problems and the reasons for this sort of problem. First, we go to the Bible and realize that much of this stems from the fall. We recognize that since the fall, a temptation that will always fall on men is to drop their duty as head of the house and be lazy. It's much easier to play video games until 3 a.m., sleep in the next morning, and it's far harder to lead the family, sometimes against their will, to go to church. He says also, rather than speaking about the true word of God, we try to give a good experience. Pastor Jonathan Fisk has a great video talking about this when he says, When Relevancy Fails. If I remember the title of it, he says, rather than looking to give the truth, we want to give a good experience. I can have a good experience watching a game on TV. What I need is truth. He says, watching a pastor tell everyone to hold hands with their neighbor in prayer as a male, no thanks. And then he says, obviously, fathers are not teaching their kids, and that's a major problem. By not attending or by skipping church for sporting events, fathers teach their sons. Church is not worth their time. Carrie in Minnesota says, I think that if a woman can do it, she will do it and get it done, and a man will gladly step aside and let her. When men have to be leaders, they usually step up and take on the responsibility. There's also more widows because more women live longer than men. Women always have been in church. Just look at the widow Anna, and that was where Jesus was presented in the temple as a baby. She rarely left the temple. Chris listens in Chicago. Chris says, perhaps since the 1970s, the problem has been made worse by a confusion in the concept of love, especially in worship music. Too many Christian songs, including songs sung by male performers, end up sounding like love songs to Jesus. I am, to say the least, he says, uncomfortable with the notion of Jesus as my boyfriend. However, I have no sanctified discomfort with the holding of love of a subject for his good and just king, or a soldier for his brave and self-sacrificing commanding officer. Yeah, maybe we have turned Jesus into the sad, lonely, and somewhat needy boyfriend. That's true. David in Colorado says, I can't see this as a big problem. People have said this my whole life, but the problem I see again and again is that the young are scarce. Looking around in churches where I live in New England, most heads are gray on women and men, And there are a few more women present on Sunday, but mostly it's age that's noticeable. 10 or 12 youth and their parents in a sea of grandparent types, like me, says David in Colorado. So why do you think church attendance is disproportionately female? Because that's just the statistic. Now, there are, your congregation may differ, but my congregation is a pretty straight 50-50 with young, old, and everything represented, but that is the exception. Why do you think church attendance is disproportionately female? Do you think that girl worship assistance, female assistance in the liturgy has added to the man crisis, or as Cardinal Burke calls it, rampant liturgical experimentation, has that had something to do with feminizing the church? Dr. Burke says it's also a crisis in catechesis, that is, in teaching. He says it's a complete collapse of catechesis in the church. Young men grew up without the proper instruction with regard to their faith and the knowledge of their vocation. Young men were not being taught that they are male in the image of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. These young men were not taught to know all the virtues that are necessary in order to make a man and to fulfill the particular gifts being made. And then he says, to make matters worse, there is often a very fluffy, superficial kind of catechetical approach to the question of human sexuality and the nature of the marital relationship. What do you think? 1-877-623-6943. Do you agree or disagree with Cardinal Burke? 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc. Give us your thoughts now. Put them there at our Facebook fan page if you like, facebook.com/issuesetc. I will never forget it. There's a picture hangs in my parents' house among a montage of pictures of my mom's family when my mom was a young woman still living at home. And there are the six kids, three girls and three boys. And there is mom. This is taken in the backyard of their house in Garden City, Kansas. There are the mom and the three girls. They're all dressed with their hats and their purses and their heels, ready to go to church. It must have been a Sunday morning. And then there is dad, grandpa, my mom's dad. He's sitting at the picnic table. He's dressed in a sweatshirt and jeans and a fishing cap. Looks like he's about to go fishing. And so do all the boys. All the same family, but you can see it right there. Now, thank God that later in life, that guy sitting at the picnic table getting ready to go fishing on Sunday morning became a very devout church-going Christian. But the picture is so, it's almost comical. See grandpa with the boys, all dressed ready to go fishing and staying home on Sunday morning, and all the girls are ready to go. It said something. And said something about maybe had dad been wearing his suit and ready to go, the boys would have been going too. But the boys stayed home, the girls went to church. Now, what's the solution for this? If we agree on the scope of the problem, it's not just a statistical problem, but it's also a spiritual problem. Leon Poddles would say it's a thousand-year-old problem in the Roman Catholic Church and, of course, in other confessions of faith as well. Many have noticed it. Some have said that the solution is to say, make church more masculine. Beef it up. Man it up a little bit. Arm wrestling contests as a feature on Sunday morning, or trying to incorporate football into church, something like that. Even something extreme as mixed martial arts, guys beating each other to a bloody pulp on Sunday morning to attract men. Is that the real solution? Is the solution to put in attractions that attract men elsewhere? Well, look, if I want to watch mixed martial arts, I'm going to stay home and watch the real thing on Sunday morning, aren't I? The professionals, not some pastor who thinks he's good at it. If I wanted to watch football, it's a lot more enjoyable in the comfort of my own living room and my big screen than with a bunch of people I don't really know very much. No, the answer is not to cater church toward men. Even if the crisis were reversed and women were staying home, the answer would not be to cater church toward women. The answer is for the church to be the church. Now look, the fact of the matter is the church is the bride of Christ, but that bride has a groom, the man. He's not a manly man. He doesn't have bulging muscles. He doesn't run a 4-minute mile. He just goes to the cross and dies, and he dies for men and for women and for sinners. The church needs to have something to say about that Jesus to sinners. We'll be right back.
I'm still a guy. Yeah, boy.
You can sing and recite the church's hymn book, the Psalms, using modern English and new musical settings in the new Concordia Psalter. Check it out at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase the Concordia Psalter by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Make the Concordia Psalter part of your devotional life this year. 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, the new Concordia Psalter.
Holy Cross Lutheran Church, Moline, Illinois, invites you to join us in receiving the Lord's gifts in word and sacrament. Sunday services are at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m., with Bible class and Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. We are located in the Quad Cities at 4107 21st Avenue, Moline, Illinois. Welcome in the name of our Lord.
Streaming 24/7 sacred music and talk stations from a 500-square-foot office in Collinsville, Illinois, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Thank you for helping us make budget again last year. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio has been independent and in the black for almost 7 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your prayers, and thanks for your financial support. Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world, Issues Etc., and sacred music for the world, LutheranPublicRadio.org. We're looking forward to partnering with you in 2015.